Let's read together Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 29. Now, in this last section of Romans chapter 2, we see that even the religious Jews who had the law of God and considered themselves the moral teachers of other people, even they were guilty before God. Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Let's begin with some background notes. The good news in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans is that God has a plan of salvation for mankind. Even though people are sinners and don't deserve salvation, God in his grace has provided salvation for us in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came into this world for the express purpose of going to the cross to die for our sins. The penalty of sin is death, and Christ paid that penalty as our substitute. This is the gospel. In Romans, we see that this is all part of God's wonderful plan and package of salvation for people. But before that great plan of salvation can be unfolded in the Epistle to the Romans, the whole world must be shown to be guilty and in need of salvation. The foundation must be laid. The decks must be cleared. Man's great need of salvation must be shown before God's great plan of salvation can be presented. Follow that? Well, that's what Romans 1 through 3 is all about. In chapter 1, the uncivilized barbarian is shown to be guilty before God. Whether they be godless heathen or idolatrous pagans, no one has an excuse. All are guilty before the Creator. Then in the first half of chapter 2, we saw that the good and morally upright, self-righteous person is also shown to fall short of God's standards. It's not only the uncivilized pagan that falls short. It's also the civilized and cultured person that falls short. Now, when Paul wrote the first 16 verses of this chapter, Romans chapter 2, most likely he had more folks in mind than just the civilized and cultured Jew. But now in verses 17 through 29, the section before us, he definitely zeroes in on the religious Jew. Not only are the uncivilized pagans guilty before God, and not only are the civilized, self-righteous people guilty before God, but even the religious Jews who had the law of God given to them, even they are guilty before God. So that then brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Romans chapter 2. And doctrinal or teaching point number one is this: God condemns religious hypocrisy. God condemns religious hypocrisy. Look again at verses 21 through 23, where Paul is addressing the religious Jew. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that the man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? The point here is that the religious Jews were hypocrites. They claimed to be keepers of the law, verse 17. They even boasted about the law of God, verse 23. They claimed to know God's will and do only what was good, verse 18. They claimed to be guides to the blind and light to those in darkness, verse 19. They claimed to be spiritually mature teachers of God's word, verse 20. But they were hypocrites. They taught others, but didn't teach themselves, verse 21. They preached that you should not steal and that you should not commit adultery, but they themselves were committing these same sins, verses 21 and 22. Some of the religious Jews were even known to take treasures from the heathen temples when they professed to hate anything connected with idolatry. We see that in verse 22. They were hypocrites, and God condemns religious hypocrisy. You see the application for us here this morning? Is it possible that you're here this morning as a religious hypocrite? Are you wearing some kind of spiritual mask? Behind this mask, you're involved in some secret sin? Are you sitting here in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but behind their backs you are slandering them and saying nasty things about them, maybe because you're jealous of them or for whatever reason? Is it possible you're here this morning as a religious hypocrite? Maybe you're not even a Christian. You're just faking it. Listen, you've got to get right with God because God condemns religious hypocrisy. Remember our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 23. I'm reading Matthew 23, verses 13 through 15. The Lord Jesus speaking. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Matthew 23, 13 through 15. Let's make sure we're not involved in religious hypocrisy, because God condemns religious hypocrisy. Doctrinal point number two, God condemns religious ritualism. God condemns religious ritualism. Verse 25, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Circumcision, as you know, was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant for the Jewish people. As long as the people honored God and followed his law, circumcision meant something. But the Jewish people were not honoring God, and they were not following God's law, even though they were still practicing circumcision. They were practicing it as a ritual, a religious ritual. Therefore, God said that their circumcision was merely a meaningless ritual. The ritual of circumcision meant nothing if the heart was not right with God. The heart must be circumcised and not just the flesh, as verse 29 says. In fact, the uncircumcised Gentile was better off with God than the circumcised Jew if the Gentile honored God and his law. We see that in verses 26 and 27. Therefore, if the uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you even with your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? The uncircumcised here would be the Gentile. In verse 29, there is a play on words in the last phrase where we read, whose praise is not from men, but from God. You see, the root meaning of the name Jew, which comes from Judah, is praise. And that is what God was looking for. But because of religious ritualism, they were not Jews inwardly. They were not bringing praise to God. You can see that play on words there at the end of verse 29. Let's read the whole verse. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, do you see how all of this applies to us today? God condemns religious ritualism, and many people practice religious ritualism today. Take Christian baptism, for example. Baptism is a God-given ordinance, and it is good if it is practiced in the biblical way. But some people treat baptism as a rite or religious ritual. As long as they've been baptized as a baby or as an adult, they think they are safe. They think they've made it with God, even though they don't honor God with their heart, and they are not right with God. How wrong can you be? Baptism means nothing if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior. God condemns religious ritualism. Practical application. Is the name of God blasphemed because of you? Is the name of God blasphemed because of you? Verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The Jewish people claimed that they were following God, but at the same time, they were breaking God's law by lying and stealing and committing adultery. As a result, the Gentiles blasphemed the God of the Jews. How terrible. Unfortunately, this happens today because of the behavior of some Christians. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, when we were about to sell our home, a Christian real estate agent, whom we only knew by name, decided without our permission to get a little piece of the pie by notifying our own local non-Christian realtor that we were his clients, and therefore he would get a cut of the commission when the house was sold. Well, to make a long story short, the name of God was literally blasphemed more than once because of this Christian's action. Now, that's a sad story, but it's a lesson for all of us. And many more examples could be given. But how is your behavior on the job and in your neighborhood? How is your Christian behavior? Is the name of God blasphemed because of you?